Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, if you're not wieldy with a wrench or savvy with a plumber's snake, certain home maintenance projects can be impossible to do without the help of a specialized tradesperson like a master plumber. It's easy to get in over your head. I'll say it again. It's easy to get in over your head. But don't worry. Tommy Drummond and Ian Cowan join us today. They're field managers for Mr. Rooter Plumbing in the Hudson Valley and Capital Region, and they specialize in everything from drain lines to well pumps and are here to answer your questions. So if you're stuck, backed up, or confused over a home maintenance or plumbing issue, give us a call right now. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email voxpop at WAMC.org, tweet us at WAMC Radio, just use the hashtag VoxPop, or go to Facebook. It's WAMC Radio on Facebook, and you'll see a VoxPop post there. But once again, the number to call, 1-800-348-2551. Tommy and Ian, welcome back to the program, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us, Ray.
It's nice to have you guys here. You know what? Before we get to the calls, and the calls are coming in, let me complain about toilet flappers for a minute. So, simple. A cheap part, right? Simple, standard thing. You got an American standard toilet, the flapper, the thing that seals it when it fills up, right? You press down on the lever, it opens up. So, ours went bad. My kids managed to destroy the toilet as they want to do. So, I bought another one. I said, this is easy, right? You just buy the right one. So, I bought the flapper. It was $3. Rubber piece, standard fit for all. Thing had this little slow leak. Every now and then you'd hear the water go in. So I bought another one. I said, I'll spend $6. Slow leak. Now I set the thing right. I drained it out and I refitted it. And so I'm about to buy another one and the problem just stopped.
Chain got kinked.
You think the chain got kinked?
Chain got kinked.
I don't think so. I mean, it's possible. I don't think
it's
it
also
was
possible that
operator error.
You're right. That's it. That's it.
If you get some debris in the tank, it can catch onto the flapper. And you said something that was key that your listeners need to hear. You have to buy the right one. They make universal flappers, but unfortunately, with today's day and age, there's a lot of different toilets, a lot of different sizes. And when you said American Standard, I kind of chuckled a little bit because American Standard is known for having specialized flappers, some that are round that screw on to a brass rod, some that fit. So it's very hard to get a universal anything.
Well, it said universal fits American Standard, and I said, okay, well, that was the second one I got. But eventually it started working fine, so maybe the first one I had didn't match the one that I took out. And the one that I took out had a circular float on it.
So that's another thing. It's called head pressure. I think we discussed this once before. So some of the designs of the tanks are made to have a certain amount of water come in. So if you have a float that sits above the flapper somewhere on the chain, Kohler's good for that. Some American Standards, they need the head pressure in the tank, but you don't want that much volume of water. So what it does is there's a hole in the flapper, so if that float wasn't there, it would close immediately.
Yeah.
The float lets a certain amount of water out. Otherwise, a lot of people, I'll show up to the house and they replace this with a regular flapper and they get what we call a double flush. It'll flush twice because they're getting too much water coming out.
Well, and when you want to adjust that, do you raise the height of that?
Raise or lower, depending.
Okay, and that's what I kept doing over and over again, and I guess I finally got it right. Well, the phone, enough about my flapper.
Good for you.
Let's go to the phones, 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Chris in Vermont. Chris, you're first.
Hi, thanks, guys. Tommy, Ian, and Ray.
Hello.
AMC's MVP.
Well,
how are you?
All right, fine. You're on. I'll give you up to 20 minutes for this call. No, go ahead.
Thank you, guys. Okay, I got kind of an unusual thing. I live in Vermont, been off-grid for about 9 years and loving it. Instead of using an AC water pump, we have a DC permanent magnet deep well pump that pumps to a 1,000-gallon tank, and then a surface SureFlow pump that pressurizes the system.
Okay.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, the water was just coming out in trickles. So I knew the motors were okay, but it had something to do with the blue pressure tank not having enough air in it, and this was kind of new to me. I got conflicting numbers as far as how much to pressurize that blue pressure tank.
Chris, did you?
Somebody told me 20, and then somebody said it should just be a couple of PSI below the 45 PSI that the water comes out of the faucet at.
Both are wrong.
Nope. So, we're off to a flying start,
so,
Chris.
So, Chris, first of all, you have to check the pressure when there's no water in it. So you have to turn the pump off. You have to drain the system. So where that's supposed to be set at is 2 pounds below the cut-in pressure. So what that means is if you have a 30-50 switch, it should be 28. If you have a 40-60 switch, it's going to be 38. But generally, when those are first installed, whoever installs them sets them at the right pressure. And by having one of the blue tanks that you mentioned, you should never have to change that. It should stay. The old style tanks, the big gray tanks, used to have a float in them, and there used to be a snifter valve on your check valve coming in, which would allow some air in every time the pump ran, and that would fill those tanks. Those tanks we used to either have to let air out or add air to them. These blue tanks, what they are is they have a bladder in them. So any of the tanks that have the bladder should not have to be adjusted. It's an oddball situation that you would have to do that. But you want it to be 2 pounds below the cut-in pressure. So whatever that is, and that's the lower number on your pressure switch, you can find that by pulling the – I would turn the power off first because you don't want to zap yourself.
That's a good plan.
But there's a cover on your pressure switch, usually blue or gray. You pick that up and you look on the inside of the cover, and it'll say what type of switch it is, 30-50. They do make 20-40s, but you very rarely see them.
Okay.
How old is your pressure tank?
9 years. Just 9 years.
Depending on your water quality, too, if you are losing air, there could be something wrong with the bladder causing you to have to fill it up occasionally as well.
Okay.
You can usually check that, Chris, by when the system is working. There should be a cap on top of that blue tank. If you just unscrew that cap, there should be a snifter valve, just like you fill air in a tire. If you depress that small little button in the center, if you get air out of it, the bladder's usually okay. If you get water, then the bladder's shot, and you need to replace it.
That's an easy test.
Yeah, that's major.
All right.
But that usually, Chris, just so you know, that usually doesn't give you the symptoms that you're getting, though. If the bladder's broken, you'll hear the pump kick on and off every time you open a faucet. The purpose for that tank is to give us a buffer between when the pump runs. So your system will work without a tank, but every time you open a faucet, the pump's going to kick on. So and you'll get a fluctuation in pressure. So that tank is to absorb some of that. So however many gallons are in that tank, it runs down. If you have a 40-60 switch, the pump kicks on. When it hits 40 pounds, it shuts off. And then when you use enough water to where the pressure drops to 40, the pump kicks on and then stays on until it hits 60. So the symptoms that you're saying sound like you might have a problem with your pressure switch. Doesn't sound like adding air to the tank. It might have just been a coincidence. So that might be the next thing you want to
say. Okay, so be careful, Chris, when you're messing around with that. Let's go to Joanne in South Hadley. Joanne, you're on.
Yes, I'd like to ask you a question about current recommendations in terms of how plumbers fix pipes. About 5 years ago, I had a little pinhole leak in a copper pipe, and the plumber who came to do it took out that section of pipe, and then instead of doing what I would think of as being a usual kind of a solder, he used a very large appliance that was kind of like a large vice grip.
These guys are laughing, Joanne.
It's called ProPress, Joanne.
Okay.
It's what it is. It's a system that several companies make. It's a tool that ProPress. Milwaukee makes it, Rigid. There's several different companies, a lot of companies that make the fittings. And what it is, it's a newer way. I don't want to say new because it's been around at least 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
But what it is it's solderless. So a lot of guys are using that to avoid using torches in the home. So it's an insurance safety thing. Also, they can get the job done a lot faster. Usually doesn't cost the customer any less, unfortunately, because the tools are so expensive.
But is it as effective?
It is. New fancy plumbers like Ian use them all the time, whereas old school plumbers like me, we stick with the solder.
Okay.
I use both. And I'll tell you, Ray, it took me 10 years. I was raised in the plumbing industry. I roughed my first house at 12.
And your mom was a plumber, right?
My mother was the first statewide woman master plumber in the country.
Wow, good for her.
Yes, she'll be happy to hear that, Joanne. So it took me a while to get on board with it, but I met with several reps that sold the products, and they showed me how it works. And it's in my opinion, it's better than a solder joint because it flares the fitting as well. So when it crimps down, there's a rubber O-ring in there. And there's a big debate amongst plumbers. I'm on several plumbing sites, and we debate this all the time. So
sounds exciting.
You'll hear different things. But it is a good connection. It's a safe connection, and it is up to all standards and codes.
I just wonder what kind of longitudinal data they have in terms of how that holds up versus a weld over a decade. Great question.
It's hard to tell because they haven't been around as long as solder, but in all the testing that's been done, they seem to be a better hold. I think that you might want to check into a more serious problem, though. Did the plumber test your water?
I don't even remember.
So you might want to have somebody out there to test your water. It sounds like you may have a low pH level.
Okay.
So whenever you get little pinhole leaks in the copper, it's usually from your water. I'm assuming you're on a well.
No, we're actually on town water.
Yeah. So you should still get it tested just in case.
Okay.
But usually there's two things that cause that. One is a low pH level, which is acidic water. The other thing could be, believe it or not, a bad ground wire. Something that's grounded to your copper pipes could be not on there properly and sending a small electrical current through your pipes that will actually cause them to leak.
All right, Joanne.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have to take a break here. We are joined today by Tommy Drummond and Ian Cowan of Mr. Reuter Plumbing in the Hudson Valley and Capital Region. We are off to a flying start. Back to your calls coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Hudson Valley Goldsmith New Paltz, specializing in custom-designed fine jewelry made with conflict-free diamonds and recycled gold, vintage jewelry, and the work of over 20 artists, custom work in an open studio, hudsonvalleygoldsmith.com. Columbia County Tourism, a summer home to the classic musicals, theater, waterfront concerts, music, dance, and outdoor films, columbiacountytourism.org. Real Seafood Company, Wolf Road, Colony. Locally owned seafood restaurant and raw bar, realseafoodco.com. Lori Stilwell, CPA PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond, stilwellcpa.com. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, announcing their updated website with more information about membership, grants, and loans, so our past has a future, preserveNYS.org. And the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting Surrounded, sampling Birchfield's wallpaper, the original designs and watercolors by Charles Birchfield, now through September 20th, arkellmuseum.org.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. We do one of our periodic plumbing shows today. Tommy Drummond and Ian Cowan of Mr. Reuter in the Hudson Valley and Capital Region join us. And back to the phones we go. Annie and Troy, you're on.
Yes, this is Annie, and I have a pre-1900 brick townhouse.
Okay.
And I actually have the blueprints for it, and I've lived in it for 42 years now, which means that over years, I probably have done some inspected plumbing, so I won't say I actually did. But I've been recently wondering about the venting of this plumbing because I now have 7 sinks in the house, and it has flat roofs with 2 interior roof drains. And when I look at the blueprints, I don't see any place where there's any kind of venting. And recently, I've been having some funny ways of sounds happening in my plumbing, and it just makes me wonder, really old houses, do they have vented plumbing? Do these flat roof brick buildings have vented plumbing?
Mm.
They should. It all depends on who put the plumbing in. Sometimes you'll have vents coming out the side of the house instead of the roof, which is all the same, but according...
But that's not true, no.
No, you don't have any vents coming out the side either?
No.
So, yes, it is possible that you have a house that doesn't have vents. It's not up to today's code or standards. But years ago, we didn't have to put traps in. So the reason for a vent is because you have a trap. So if you look under your sink, everything that has that funny U-shaped thing in it, that's a trap. And it's not to catch earrings. It's to keep a little bit of water in there to keep the sewer gases out. So years ago, they found out people were getting sick. They were dying of methane gas or passing out. And they said, how about we put a trap in? And they put one trap in the whole house. And that was your house trap or your building trap. And then you have a little pipe that comes out behind that and goes out of the front of the house or the side of the house. And then they decided that, you know what, we're still getting that smell. So now every fixture needs to be individually trapped as of today's codes. So in order to make the traps work properly, there has to be a venting system. So if you don't have a pipe sticking out of the roof anywhere, or even in the attic, sometimes they didn't put them in the roof, they just put them up into the attic. You'll get a smell up there when you go. But if you don't have any pipes there and you don't have any pipes through your roof, I would recommend calling a licensed master plumber and having them check it out. But if your drains have been working fine for years, you can probably get away with not doing anything, but technically you should be vented somewhere.
Well, because we now seem to have these heavy rains, and I'm down in the River Ward, I think, too, there's going to be a time when the flow is going to be really heavy from the rain, and I'm going to have some problems. That's why I was wondering about this venting.
Well, you said you have roof drains, so it's possible that they tied that in with your vent somehow.
Oh, yeah.
So it is possible. That's why I recommend that without seeing your house, every house is different. I can't give you a whole lot of individualized advice, but I would recommend, don't call a handyman. Call a licensed master plumber.
Okay.
And just explain it to them, and they should, within minutes, be able to tell you if you have vents or not.
But what about the funny sound she's hearing?
Could just be a slow drain. Because they worked fine previously, right, Annie?
Yeah,
it could just be a slow drain, starting to clog up, maybe.
Okay, I have one other question.
Sure.
The house originally didn't have hot water radiators. Then in 1900, they put in hot water radiators, and 35 years later, they added some extra radiators rather than tightening up the house. And I've had to turn off those extra radiators. I wanted to get rid of them. One of the plumbers who came through said, no, you need to keep these monster 5 and 6 foot long radiators that look like school buildings. You need to keep them in case you need them. It seems like a real shame for my pretty house to have these monsters that are always turned off.
If you don't need them and they're turned off, then it's okay to remove them. It sounds like he didn't want the hassle of taking them out or didn't want to do the work. But we can do anything you want to your house. You should do a heat loss calculation to determine if, it's based on windows and doors and how much heat loss you have to determine if those are ever needed. But if you own the house for years and you're not using them, go ahead and take them out. It's not going to hurt anything.
Okay.
Annie, thanks a lot for the call.
Okay.
Bye. 1-800-348-2551. Jeff in Liberty, New York. Goodbye, Jeff. That's very rude. Paul in Dalton, Massachusetts. Paul.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good. Nice to have you here.
Good. Hello, Tony, Ian.
Tommy.
My situation is I had a brand new bathroom installed upstairs in the house about 3 or 4 years ago. So it's all new plumbing. And in the past year or so, we've been getting the rotten egg smell out of the cold water tap. And oddly enough, the tub is upstairs in that bathroom also. It doesn't smell from the tub, but it smells from the cold water tap. And that's the last fixture on that line.
Now, do you use the tub to bathe in or to shower?
Bathe in.
Okay. So I don't have an explanation why you don't smell it in there, because if it's in the cold water line, it's going to be in all of there. You probably notice it a little more in the morning, I'm guessing?
Well, it's gotten to the point where we don't even use the cold water tap there. Now, recently, it started in the downstairs bathroom, and we've never had the problem. And I've been in the house for 30 years.
Are you in a well?
Yes.
So what you need to do is you need to treat the sulfur. So usually what we do is we have a test kit. We usually carry in our trucks. You'll find plumbers, water treatment guys that have them. And then you test. If you notice it in the cold and the hot, it's a different form. So we discussed this once before. If you get it on the cold, the easiest way to treat, there's several different ways to treat. Some are chlorine injections. I prefer the aeration tank system because it takes everything out of your hands. You don't have to do anything. So basically it aerates the water as it comes out of the well, releases the gas, and then it goes out. So the gas is actually a byproduct of a bacteria that is down in your well somewhere. and they give off that smell. If you were just getting it on the hot, there'd be some other options I could give you, but you need some sort of water treatment. My recommendation would be an aeration tank, but there are several different ways to treat it.
You don't think the bacteria could be in the lines as opposed to coming in the well? Because
could be.
I don't have the problem the downstairs.
Could be, but it's usually wherever you turn the water on first, you're going to get most of the smell. So if you wait overnight and you don't run anything, and then you go test another faucet tomorrow morning, odds are you're going to smell it in that faucet. So, and it is a gas, so it is going to rise. It's going to go to your high point. That's why I asked if you noticed in the shower, because usually the shower heads are above our head, so you don't notice it in there because the gas is dissipating and going above you. It's lighter than the air.
All right. So I should, as you said, try running one particular tap.
Yeah, that'll just give you an idea. That'll just tell you that it's in a pipe. But in order to get to any of the pipes, it had to come from your well water. So you can also use hydrogen peroxide. We will pump into a system. You can also use chlorine. And then you let it sit for at least an hour. We try to let it sit overnight. That kills any bacteria that's in there currently. And then we install the unit. So whoever installs your water treatment unit should do that anyway. It's just a normal procedure.
All right. Paul, thanks a lot for the call.
Okay, Ray. Take care.
Yep, you too. Let's go to Bill in Valencia. Bill, you're on.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Good. Nice to have you here.
Oh, thank you. We have a question. We live in the ground floor. My wife told me I was incorrect. It's really the basement. We're having a condensation problem, and we're thinking about a dehumidifier, and we'd like some input from your guest.
All right, Tommy and Ian, our experts.
When you say condensation problem, what do you mean by that?
Okay, underneath the wall, the east wall, which is below the ground level, okay, there is wet little puddles.
It doesn't sound like a condensation problem as much as a groundwater problem.
Condensation we notice on pipes a lot of times and on water
exactly.
tanks. Is it
exactly.
coming from the pipe?
Yes.
Okay. Oh. Then there you go.
Yeah, and it's coming out in the toilet, coming out in the living room. It's everywhere.
What it is, it's cold water, and it's warm in the house. So that's what happens. You're going to get that condensation. Not sure a dehumidifier is going to help you a whole lot. You can insulate the pipes. That will help. Mm-hmm. But it's basically the water comes in at a lower temperature that's in the house, and then it forms condensation. So it's a real tough thing to deal with. The best way is usually to insulate. You can put a dehumidifier in there, but it's not going to stop the condensation. You could cool the room off a little bit, and that would help. But if that's not an option, then you can always insulate the pipes.
Okay. Thanks for your input.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot, Bill. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. We talk plumbing today on Vox Pop with Tommy Drummond and Ian Cowan of Mr. Rooter. Let's go over to Bill. What are you guys saying over there? You all right? Yeah, you're on. You're on, Mike. Bill in East Hampton, Mass. Bill, you're on.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
I just wanted to make a comment, tell you an experience I had about 20 years ago when I had my first house. For the first couple of years, my water bill was maybe $500 or $600. And on year three or four, I got the bill in the mail, and it was $1,800.
Yikes.
So I called up the city people, and the woman I spoke to, I said, you know, there's some sort of mistake. And she said to me, you have a toilet that's running? And I said, well, yeah, I do. She said, how long has it been running? I said, about a year. And she says, it's a pretty good trickle. And I said, yeah. And she said, well, believe it or not, that's what happened to your water bill. And so I immediately went out and bought the stuff to make the toilet stop running. Because it was a pretty good trickle, but it just wasn't bugging me. I didn't care. And it didn't occur to me it was going to cost me $1,000. And so I just wanted to lay that
common,
on you.
Very common, Bill. Very common.
Just wanted to lay that on you in case anybody's wondering whether or not they should fix their leaky toilet.
That's a good bit of advice. Thanks, Bill.
Okay. See you later.
Yeah, we'll see you. Let's go to Carlene in Boston Spa. Carlene.
Hi, and I want to thank you for this wonderful show. I love all these home repair, fix-it type programs you have on. It's great. My problem is that like Bill was talking about, I have a leaky toilet that runs sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't, and I'm in the process of trying to find a plumber, a good one, but I wanted to ask you guys about this other problem. Whenever I turn a tap on downstairs or anywhere in the house, or I flush a toilet downstairs, the upstairs toilet starts to run.
Hmm.
And I'm in a townhouse, no basement, so it's not easy to get to anything. You have to tear out walls to get to the plumbing and all that. So I was just wondering if the toilet running occasionally and this toilet almost flushing or starting to run when other faucets are used or other toilets are used, I wonder if those two things are connected.
Is this a common problem? No, they're shaking their head. You're in trouble, Carlene. They're shaking their heads.
Uh-oh.
All right, go ahead,
Uh-oh.
Gentlemen.
Typically, it's merely a coincidence. If you have any noises going on in your wall, it's typically what's called an air hammer effect. But if it's...
Oh, it's not that. Yeah. I know what that is. It's not that. It's just water running.
It just sounds like it's a coincidence. I had it in my house growing up as well.
A coincidence?
They do exist.
How? Every time she flushes a toilet, it also runs water upstairs in the toilet?
No, she probably just notices it at that point. This toilet is probably running constantly. So for the toilet to kick on, some of the water needs to go from the tank to the bowl. So when that happens, the fill valve kicks on, and it just so happens that you notice it. Maybe you're close to there, or you're listening to the pipes, but definitely a coincidence, believe it or not. And I don't believe in coincidences.
I don't know, Carlene. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I buy this.
Thanks, Ray. I'm with you. I'm not sure. I don't think I explained it very well.
All right, try it
really
again.
Thank
you
for...
You can try it again if you think you have some more detail.
Oh, no. That's all right. I'll ask another question instead, if that's okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I have no basement, this cheap townhouse has the water tank is in the coat closet, in the back of the coat closet. And I've had, in 25 years, 4 hot water heaters. And I think that's excessive. So I was wondering if they claim it's the hard water. How can I get a water softener that doesn't affect my drinking water and cooking water at the kitchen sink? Is that possible?
Okay, so I'm guessing that your hot water heater is electric?
Yes, it has to be. There's no room for gas.
Usually in a townhouse, that's what we see. So they make something that you can put on the unit right before the cold water inlet, and it will help to help the minerals not actually adhere to the inside of the tank and to the elements. And you can put that in as a point of use kind of thing for a water heater. And that won't affect your, a lot of people don't like, we call it silky water because we sell the softeners, but most people that have them, they call it slimy. So I understand why you don't want the soft water. I get it. So
I just don't want the sodium.
So you just put, well, there's a way around that as well. There's a product called potassium chloride that's under the brand name K-Life that you put in instead of salt, and that keeps the sodium out. So you have that option as well. But all you need is a point of use acid neutralizer before the hot water tank. And they pipe it in with 2 valves and they change it once a year, and that'll help save the life expectancy of your water heater. But if you're interested in treating the water, you just need to use potassium chloride instead of salt.
Okay, and this point of use neutralizer, mm-hmm. is that what you called the device?
Yeah, you can call any local plumber, any licensed plumber, and just tell them you need to stop the minerals from getting into your hot water heater. And what they'll do is they'll shut the water off, they'll cut the pipe, they'll put in 2 valves with this filter, and then you'll be fine.
Does the filter have to be replaced periodically?
Once a year.
Okay.
And they can show you how to do it. You have the 2 valves, and you could personally do it yourself, or you could hire a licensed contractor to do it.
All right.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for the call, Carlene.
Thanks, Carlene. We appreciate the call. Okay, so while we're on the topic of water heaters, you know, they have 5-year, 7-year, 10-year, 12-year. What are the odds that they actually make the number of years that they say on the heaters?
They make 1 year after.
Do they, though? I had a 10-year that didn't last 10 years, I'll tell you that.
Usually they last about a year afterwards. That's usually
really
what we find. Yeah. And most hot water heaters, I guess we're going a little inside, and the water heater manufacturers are going to call me when I leave with all the reps. But most of the water heaters, when you purchase a regular 6-year warranty and you upgrade to the 10, I just go to the supply house and they hand me another sticker that gets put over that sticker.
Oh, that's
the exact
awful.
Same heater.
Now, that's a terrible thing to say. We're going to bleep this out of the show. Jamie in Plattekill. Jamie, you're on.
Hey, how you doing? This
Good.
Is Jamie's husband. I'm no pipe master at all or anything, but
I have a huge problem with my sink. I bought a rubber pipe clamp cap for underneath the sink, and what it is when I fill the sink up, the whole sink fills up. And before, it used to go all the way down into the sink, into the pipes. It used to flood up underneath the sink. Now I bought the rubber cap, and now the whole entire sink fills up. The cap kind of stops it from overfilling underneath.
Mm.
So my main problem is I'm not exactly sure if I should use a snake or not to unclog the sink, because a few months back, every time I ran the water, it went down the pipe without an issue. Only recently has it really started filling up, either under the sink or the sink itself.
Okay.
It sounds like somewhere in that line you have a blockage, so the best thing to do would be to run a snake down there and see what you pull back.
Yeah, I'm thinking that myself, because if I run it through there, I use Drano, I use every kind of formula I could possibly use to undrain it.
Yeah, they're wincing. As soon as you start mentioning chemicals, these guys shudder.
What kind of pipes do you have in your wall? Do you know?
I'm not too sure.
Are they metal or plastic? Do you have any idea?
We have plastic pipes.
The chemicals aren't the end of the world then, but the reactions they have with water a lot of times can cause more harm than good. It is just better to have a professional come out with a snake or cable machine of some sort and actually clean out your drain line and pull back whatever's in there and then go from there.
Jamie, we got to take a break here, but thank you very much for the call. It is Vox Pop on WAMC. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. We'll hit the home stretch with Tommy Drummond and Ian Cowan in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Apex Solar Power, Queensbury, New York. Locally owned, installing solar panels, solar hot water, solar pool heating, apexsolarpower.com for information. George Propane, Goshen, Massachusetts. Family owned and operated for over 75 years. Serving Western Massachusetts with propane and full service heating and plumbing installation, services and deliveries. georgepropane.com. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York. Working to permanently preserve the natural, scenic, and recreational resources of the Lake George region since 1988. LGLC.org. Cowan's Auctions, accepting consignments of jewelry, fine art, historic firearms, American Indian art, historic items, and more. 518-396-7994 for appointments. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted, dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. Ants Back, presenting New York City Ballet, featuring the 7th Annual American Girl Night, Wednesday, July 15th, with arts and crafts and the American Girl doll, Grace, sponsored by Price Chopper Supermarkets. SPAC.org for tickets.
I don't know why this Frank Zappa song reminds me of plumbing. It just is. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. We talk plumbing on Vox Pop every now and again, and we're joined today by Tommy Drummond and Ian Cowan of Mr. Rooter Plumbing in the Hudson Valley and Capital Region. Lines are loaded, so let's keep going here. Jeremy, where are you calling from? Copake, is that?
Yes.
Ah, you're on.
Okay, I've got two quick questions. First question is, I've got a house that's existing, has I believe it's called Tex Plumbing.
Okay.
And want to just put an outside faucet on, and I've just got a question about whether I should be using the clamp-on connectors or the kind of push fittings, if there's an advantage to one or the other.
The advantage is the push fittings are easier. They're more expensive. They have an O-ring in there that prevents it from leaking.
Okay.
As a plumber, we always use clamp-on fittings. They're more professional. We know they're going to last forever. But for the everyday homeowner, we've seen shark bites, and I haven't seen them fail that often.
Okay. So they're a pretty safe bet.
Well, Tommy's looking in my direction. I'm not a big fan of them, but
fan of what?
The shark bite fittings, the push fittings.
Okay.
I don't think they've been around long enough to really. And I've seen them used in ways, you know, to hold an expansion tank and they fall down. I've seen a lot of leaks on them on, you know, the first valve coming in from a service. So I don't know. I'm not a big fan of them. One thing you do need to know, though, is as far as warranty information and insurance information, whatever type of PEX piping that is, you are supposed to use the same fittings. So if it's a Wurzbow pipe, you have to use Wurzbow fittings. If it's Watts piping, you have to use Watts fittings. So you just have to look on the pipe to see what brand it is. And then you, if you want to use the tool to do it, you're going to have to either buy or rent the tool to use the right fitting. So Tommy's right. As a homeowner, the shark bites are okay. If they end up leaking, though, then you have to call somebody else out. So I'm just not a big fan of them. But they seem to work.
Fair enough. And then I've got one other quick question. I've got a gas hot water heater that is approximately 10 years old. For the first, I would say, 7 years, it seemed very quiet. And then in the last 3 years, we seem to be getting a lot of noise out of it.
Like a popping noise?
Yeah, popping, bubbling, almost like boiling. You know, usually right after someone takes a shower. There's a period why it's filling back up and heating that it just sounds like it's going to come out of the wall.
You have reached the life expectancy of your heater. What's happening is there's a mineral buildup in there, and you can drain the tank and try and clean it up a little bit, but sooner than later, that tank is going to have to be replaced.
Okay, so is that just like calcium deposits or something in there popping? Or?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. All right. Good enough. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jeremy. Let's go to Ben in Amherst. Ben, you're on.
Hi, how are you? I have a couple questions. The first one is about these cleanouts in my basement. I have two houses. They're both about 1880. You know, it's the cast with the brass cap with the octagon nut that I would put my monkey wrench on or the plumber's wrench. And my question is how it seems like such oneness, and it's a delicate thing, I'm quite sure. How do I go about that?
About what? Taking the cap off? Taking the
plug
off?
Yes. Yes. It seems so stuck that I'm afraid I would break the cap and not the brass cap.
As a plumber, I typically will break that cap off and replace it with a newer style cap that either the similar style, and I'll grease the outside that way it won't get stuck like that. Or they have the newer test caps, as they're called, with a rubber ring around it. And as you tighten it up, that ring will expand and create a seal.
And I prefer the lead fiddles, Tommy. So what they do is when you take it out, once you get it out, if you get that brass plug out and it's in good shape, put a little Teflon tape. You can get it at any hardware store, plumbing supply. Put that on there. When you put it back in, it will seal it so the gases can't come out, and it'll also make it easier to take out next time. If it does break, it is possible. It's kind of hard to explain over the radio, but if it does break, you can actually cut to the end of the cap. You just can't cut the threads on the cast iron.
I'm confused because if anything's going to break, it's going to be the cast, not the brass.
No. The brass is a very soft metal. You can actually
the brass will break before the cast.
Usually, yes. If not, you can drill a hole. You can drill a hole in the plug. And then you can use a sawzall, and you can cut over to the threads, and you can actually make a couple of notches in there, and you can actually get the brass plug out and then replace it with a new one with Teflon, or you can use what's called a lead fiddle, which is a cap that has a beveled center, and then it has grooves in it for threading. It has male threads that would screw in, and then you can tap the center of the plug, and it'll expand the lead and make a nice seal. So you can get those at a plumbing supplier hardware
that
as well.
That sounds good. And then once I get through that, is there something you recommend to soften? Is there something you can put in there to soften if I did have trouble with a snake, or just the snake is the only... I've seen this like stuff that looks like rock salt or something.
What do you have? Do you have a root problem? Is that where we're going? Do you have tree roots?
Well, no. I don't know if I do because I haven't gotten into them. I don't see any major roots over them. There's some small.
Well, Ben, we always start with a cable machine, Ben. So we always snake it out, and then if we pull back something on the machine, then we know. We camera all of the lines. So if you call a plumber, just make sure that they have a camera. They can cable the line for you or snake it, and then they can run a camera in there to look at it. That's really the only way to tell. We can't see underground. We don't know what's in the pipes.
Okay.
All right. So you're saying I could pretty much just cut right into that cap, break the cap.
Yes.
The cast won't break, but the
cast
brass
won't
will.
Break.
Well, okay.
No, it shouldn't break.
I thought it was going to be the other way. Okay, and the last question is, what do you think of those? I've got one of the houses I have has this old, it's left behind. It was a rental, big old monster water heater.
Is it a Vaughn?
Is it a what?
A Vaughn water heater.
I don't know, probably. It's the kind that they used to rent to you from the electric company. It's a big brown thing. It's huge.
Okay.
It's like twice the electric company used to rent them
so
out.
So you know, you're not using it and you're looking to get rid of it? Is that what
no,
you're saying?
No, I am using it. It doesn't seem too bad. Okay. And I guess I'll ask you this. Is it true that if you don't bleed your water heater once a year, don't do it at all?
I agree with that. I would say don't do it at all.
Ben, thanks a lot. Let's go to Doug and Canaan. Doug, you're on.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And thank you. I live most of the time actually in Manhattan in a pre-war co-op building. It's got about 40 units in it. It's fifth floor walk up, and you know, it's got some old pipes and things, and I've had a problem ever since I moved in about 10 years ago with the shower. It's a one bathroom, and in the bathroom, you know, I'll be sitting in the living room and I hear this bloop, bloop, bloop. I mean, it's almost comical. It's so loud. Comes up out of the tub, and it also does come out of the sink as well. You know, I'm wondering, I'm on the first floor, and people aren't supposed to have washing machines in the building because pre-war, the pipes weren't really built for that.
Yeah.
I know some people do. I do, too, but I just... you know, I'm on the first floor, so who am I bothering?
Right.
But in any case, I don't know if that has anything to do with people showering. You know, there does seem to be something tied to it in the morning, I guess, when people are showering, perhaps. And I also, you know, forgive me, but to go to an earlier caller... with that, sometimes does come sort of a sewage smell as well.
Okay, so sulfur smell. All right.
It's typically one of two things. Either the drain line is so choked down, there's so much running water that it can't take it all, and it's starting to back up, and as it's backing up, the air is actually bubbling out of the fixtures you're talking about. Or B, there isn't enough ventilation in the pipes, and it's trying to draw air in from those fixtures.
And you notice in the morning, because most people are running their water, they're getting ready for work. So high water usage times, you'll notice that.
Yeah. Is there any solution for that? I'm guessing there's no solution that I can independently create for this problem. Like, it's got to be, you know, a building-wide kind of thing.
Exactly. You have to have someone come out there and take a look at the pipes and the situation going on and actually investigate it while it's going on.
All right.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you. Over to John in Charlton. John, you're on.
Hi. I've got two holding tanks in my basement for water and a chlorinator. And I'm not sure if the chlorinator is working. I usually have to put a gallon of chlorine in once a month, and I haven't put it in probably maybe a month and a half or two.
And is the chlorine still in there then?
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like you need someone to come out there and take a look at it to make sure it's functioning properly, because if you have it and it's not working, there's just no point to it. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
Just something clogged or the pump could be going. Usually there's a clog in the pump or something. It can be cleaned out very easily.
Okay, thank you.
No, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. 1-800-348-2551. It is the lightning round here on Vox Pop with Tommy Drummond and Ian Cowan of Mr. Reuter Plumbing. Bob in Pelham, Mass. Bob, you're up.
Hello. Thanks for taking the call. I heard an earlier call about a hydrogen sulfide smell coming out of a faucet. And am I on?
Yeah. You are. Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. And I wanted to let you know about a situation that we had with a very different resolution than the one that you described. We had bathrooms put on our house, one on top of the other, in 1999. Within a couple of years, we smelled hydrogen sulfide smell coming out. We sort of ignored it of the faucets, and only in the bathroom sink on each floor, not in the shower upstairs, not in the washing machine on the same floor down below, or the toilets, or in the other bathroom in the house. And finally, I wanted to do something about it this year. I brought in people. We tested our well water. Everything is fine. And our plumber came in and said, it's the faucet. We replaced The Delta faucet on the first floor, which was the worst one in terms of smell, problem solved. It's been going on 4 weeks now. Not a single smell, while the upstairs bathroom right above it is still smelling of the hydrogen sulfide. So I'm waiting for Delta and how they're going to honor their warranty to determine, you know, when I replace that faucet upstairs.
So I just
wanted to let you know, it was the faucet.
Well, what could the difference in design of the faucet be?
It's the chemicals, composition of the faucet, the metal, and how it reacts with the water.
Whatever's in there.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a mystery to me. You know, I was doubtful that the faucet was going to do it. But lo and behold, the proof is in the pudding.
Right. I got to be honest with you, Bob. That's the first time I've ever heard that. But we definitely appreciate that. I have had cloudy water come out of certain faucets, and we found that was just the aeration system mm-hmm. in the faucet, and we've had to replace them for that reason. But not a sulfur
right.
smell.
So thank you.
I actually replaced the aerators in both faucets before we did this, thinking, well, maybe that was the problem, but it didn't address it.
So, Tommy, you surmise then that it could be a reaction with the metal? There's a difference in the metal between one brand and another?
They're the same brand. We replaced it with a Delta.
A newer Delta, I'm assuming?
A new Delta that we just bought. And you know,
we're both baffled, but theoretically speaking, there could have been some material in there that reacted poorly with the water then,
right.
And it's just one of those things.
Hey, Bob, you got one up on the plumbers today. Good job.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks
always,
for the call.
I'm always up for learning.
All right, let's go quickly to Kenny in Woodstock. Kenny, you're up.
Hey, I want to address the question a woman had with the townhouse, and her toilet ran every time she flushed the toilet downstairs, I believe it was.
Oh, okay.
I have the same situation in my house. I have a two-story house, and the flush valve is older. So it takes more pressure to close it. You know, like the new ones, as soon as it reaches a level, it shuts right away. But the older ones, it runs for a while, and finally it gets high enough to shut off. I guess the rubber disc valve is harder, it gets harder. So when you flush the toilet or downstairs or run water downstairs, It relieves
some of the pressure. But she also said, that's common as well. But she also said that it runs periodically throughout the day without running anything. So that's why we answered it that way. But
well,
you're definitely right.
Yeah, she would have a leaky flush valve.
Yeah.
And then the question that just before, I had a thing like that where the faucet got contaminated. I was selling a house. And I was testing the water for bacteria, and I changed pipes. We got a new well. The old well was contaminated. So I changed all the pipes. The only thing left was the faucet. So I changed that, and then I got a good bacteria test. And the faucet inside is sandcast, so it's rough. So I think the bacteria, whatever is making the smell, was caught in those roughness.
Huh.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, Kenny, thanks a lot. Quickly, very quickly, Mike in Scotia. Mike, you have about 45 seconds to pose the question, and the guys have about the same amount of time to answer. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. I've been having trouble with a clogged sink in the bathroom. I took off the trap, and what I found was like a black sludge. Wasn't a hairball. Wasn't any idea like what that is, and is there something to dissolve it or to get rid of it?
It's organic buildup from the pipes. It's everything going down there as it dissolves. That's the residue that sometimes it's left behind. They do have natural enzymes, bacteria you can pour down there to actually break down, eat away some of that sludge. But that's from a plumbing perspective. The other thing we do is what's called a jetting or a hydro scrub, and it's high pressure water that will blast the pipes clean.
Okay, is that something you guys do?
Yes.
Okay, so I could call you at the shop to arrange something?
Sure, and we'll give their contact information in a minute. Mike, sounds like the old 257's going by your house on the train tracks.
Yes, I don't know if it's a freighter or if it's an Amtrak. It's one or the other.
Nice to hear. I like those sound
call,
effects.
Mike.
Thanks for the call. We appreciate it. All right, guys, let's get the website out there where you are.
Website.
Don't all jump at once. Don't you have a website?
Mr. Reuter of the Hudson Valley.
And Mr. Reuter of Greater Albany.
Wow, talk about being prepared. You don't even know the website. Oh, boy, we're
now
in trouble.
It's going to be bad.
All right, I guess we're about out of time here. So, anything, any wisdom you want to lay on us in the last 15 seconds? Wow.
But I appreciate the calls and everybody, and there's a lot of different solutions for a lot of problems. It's tough on the without actually seeing
yeah.
the house. So
and you do the best
we appreciate the extra help in the calls.
That well, Tommy nice. Drummond and Ian Cowan, you've done it again. Gentlemen, thanks so much, and thanks to everybody who called in. Support comes from the Wild Center, featuring Wild Walk, a high line for the Adirondacks, with treetop views from 1,000 feet of bridges through a living forest. Wildcenter.org for details. SPAC, presenting the National Ballet of China, performing the Peony Pavilion Wednesday evening, July 22nd, and Date Night with pre-performance music, food, wine, and beer tastings, sponsored by the Sage Colleges. SPAC.org for tickets. Stone Soup Concrete, specializing in handcrafted and environmentally sound concrete countertops, sinks, furniture, and floors, serving the Northeast since 2001. StonesoupConcrete.com and on Facebook. And Fulton County Tourism, featuring an arts and history weekend July 10th through 12th, featuring music, photographers, painters, crafters, foods, artisans, reenactors, and more. 44lakes.com. Thanks again for listening. Thanks to Tommy Drummond and Ian Cowing of Mr. Reuter. And thanks to Zach Malloy at the control. Stayed awake today. Well done. Your phones were answered by Bruce Herbach, our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Stay tuned for a news update.